thank them for joining us today. At this time, I'll ask Steve Fry to call the roll.
Steve Williams. Howard Anderson. James Turner. Thomas Bell. James Enfield. Bob Bailey. Nancy Carfield. Jim Morgan. Beth Thompson. Jason Stevens.
Here.
Deanna Holliday. Patrick Light.
Here.
Bill Dinkins.
Here.
Terry Porter. Ralph Clyde. Katrina King. Kenneth Atkins.
Here.
Robert Bailey.
Here.
Don Tyus, Tom Bias.
Here.
Shane Dillon.
Yeah, he's here by proxy.
Paul Davis.
Here.
Stephen Toler. Nikki Smith. Jason Queen. Stephen Gilmore. Michelle Grubb.
Here.
Michael Gracy. Robert Carpenter.
Here.
William Hopkins. Bill Biggs. Ron Field.
Here.
Greg Bailey. Robert Pennington. Barry Keller.
Here.
Max Francis. Scott Thompson. Barbara Bryant. Amanda Spencer. Darren Eldridge. Steve Ross. Thomas Witt.
Here.
Matt Mann.
Does that constitute a quorum? The minutes of our last meeting of April 27, 2018 were distributed. I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes as distributed.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 They are approved. Number four on the agenda, Iowa Transportation Studies at Project Update. Lawrence County U.S. Interchange Building Study. We have Steve Bergman on the line.
I am here. I appreciate the invitation today. You want me to get started?
Please.
All right. I hope the presentation is in front of you. Go to the second slide. It shows a previous study that was completed in 2006 by Kiowa recommended a couple of interchanges. Burlington retail area was one reference, that is between Burlington Macedonia Road and Walmart Way. And then the second location was Charlie Creek Road interchange. And then the purpose of that study was to look at safety and congestion issues on 52 and try to alleviate some of the issues associated with the at-grade intersections that presently exist. So the next slide is our study area, just to familiarize people with that. A rather large area, but mainly encompasses US 52 and the at-grade intersections along that segment. The next slide, completed to date, we've developed, in the process of this study, we've looked at safety and congestion issues and have identified a number of existing areas that could do for some remedial action. Two of those locations were Walmart Way and Charlie Creek seems to be another issue. So we're looking at short and medium term fixes in those areas based on recommendations from the stakeholder group, ODOT and Kiowa. So the green T at Walmart Way and then a safety project that's a realignment project at Charlie Creek. We are still in the process of carrying forward four long-term feasible alternatives. One of them being the previous recommendations that I talked about from the 2006 study. And then we've also been working with the stakeholders, local stakeholders, on three other potential alternatives, primarily focused, like I said, on eliminating the at-grade crossings. Next slide, short and medium-term improvements. The Walmart Way green tea in front of you is a plan that we put together with the help of Kiowa and ODOT District 9. The information has been provided to District 9, and all of the information is available for them to submit for safety funding. ODOT safety funding deadline is September 30th. So this will be one of the projects that will be submitted, and we'll be requesting safety funds to implement this project. The interesting thing about this layout is it improves operations on the main line 52. It also improves operations at that intersection, and by eliminating some of the signal phasing. In addition, it eliminates a number of conflict points at that intersection, so it would improve safety. So there are a number of benefits to that. Next slide. Like I said, we have submitted information to ODOT District 9. They are prepared to submit that for the September 13th round of safety funds. Our construction estimate is $684,000. We've submitted a number of documents to them, including the proposed layout, ECAD analysis, like I said. And what's interesting to note is the benefit cost is 1.8, and as we all know, anything over one is good. So we feel it's a pretty strong candidate to receive safety funds, and we will know shortly. The second option is Charlie Creek. Charlie Creek is another intersection, as you know, can be very congested. It also has safety issues. We've come up with a couple of different alternatives on this, and please keep this out of the public eyes at this point. This is a very rough preliminary stage of development. We are going to submit a safety application in the spring, in April. ODOT's willing to do that to see if we can get some safety points to make some improvements there. But in essence, realigning the southern leg, the northern section, as you know, there's a real tight intersection there, tight to 52, that causes some conflicts with the operation of that interchange and safety. So we're looking at a number of different realignment options to move that intersection a little further north and away from the area of influence of that intersection. So this is by no means a final drawing. It's more of a conceptual drawing at this phase, and we'll be working with some of the local businesses and property owners to try to narrow this down and get ready for that April 30th safety application with ODOT. So like I said, the next slide on Charlie Creek, we're going to be putting the information together for ODOT District 9 in February of 19. It's the same information we put together for the Walmart Way, and the deadline for submission is April 30th. Just want to go through our final slide, next steps, long-term alternatives. We're going to develop and refine a purpose and need. We're going to work with the stakeholders on those four different options to try to narrow that down to a preferred or preferred options. Those are longer-term options. Obviously, a little bit more costly, and we'll be talking a little bit about funding options to make this thing happen. We do have some more stakeholder meetings, a public meeting as well. So that's hopefully that gives you kind of a rundown of where we're at on the project. And again, I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone have questions?
Questions on the T and. What is this going to do to impact our long-term viability of getting major funds to do the right thing?
Well, as we're looking at improvements on, for example, Charlie Creek,
Charlie Creek, that is one you really need to have a meeting with stakeholders. We spent 2 years working, this is Bill Dingus, we spent 2 years working with many options. Yours looks very similar to one of those. And a big issue that is hard to build into is the economic development potential that you can either make or kill with one of these. We do ask that before you submit that very quickly have a meeting with the local stakeholders.
And that's why, frankly, we pushed that out till spring. So it gives us a little bit of time to make sure that we're meeting with the right people and trying to. We don't want to preclude development. That's not what our goal is here. So our goal is focused on safety and congestion while also maintaining access and opportunities for development. You know, we feel that's a key component of this entire study. Actually, is trying to promote economic development, as you know. But
your safety key is the fact that every time we come up with some of these improvements, we have to fully develop it, implement it, and get it in place and test it before ODOT will consider other things. So that is something that's a concern, because every time we work on a project, they say they've got a new traffic plot that they want to try before they approve anything. So that is an issue that if there is a fix that needs to be worked on, I don't think you should let it sleep while you play with this one.
And to let you know, too, we've had some conversations at that last stakeholder meeting. District 9 was in attendance, so we were able to talk to them a little bit, specifically Charlie Creek. And it is, you know, these are short and medium-term fixes. That is acknowledged. We need to make sure when we look at the Charlie Creek improvement, the district wants to make sure that this would fit into a longer-term strategy. Whatever that strategy turns out to be, if it ends up being a grade separation, they want to make sure that this safety option would not preclude a more permanent option. So we have had those discussions. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Yes. We would ask though that you involve the stakeholders ASAP on these.
That's a good point, and we will do that.
Anyone else? Hearing nothing. Steve, we thank you for your patience and thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, sorry I missed lunch.
It was good. You really missed it too.
Thank you.
Next, we have Sandusky Road Study. Matt Senhorst, are you with us? Anyone with HDR with us? Air quality conformity analysis update. Our friend Allison, are you on there, Allison?
Yes, I am. Can you all hear me all right?
We can almost see you. We've heard you so much.
Perfect.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to briefly speak to you all about the air quality conformity analysis. Just have a couple of slides here to show you. So first, just a quick reminder of why we are doing a conformity analysis to begin with. So as you may recall, the Cuyahoga area, specifically Cabell County and Wayne County in West Virginia and Boyd County in Kentucky, were designated as non-attainment for the 1997 8-hour ozone standard some years ago. They were later reclassified to a maintenance status, which essentially means that they're not exceeding thresholds, but that they need to continue to look at that air quality for a period of 20 years. Later on, a couple years later, the 2008 ozone standard, 8-hour ozone standard came forward. And we're actually, the entire Cuyahoga area is in attainment for that. And one of the stipulations when it came out was that the 1997 standard was essentially vacated. So if you were doing air quality analysis previously as a part of that standard, you no longer had to do it. So fast forward to now, there was a court case called South Coast Air Quality Management District versus the EPA that challenged some of the EPA rules regarding the 8-hour ozone standards. And long story short, the key outcome that is pertinent for this area was that the 1997 areas are back in play. So essentially, if you were a maintenance area and you had to do things pertaining to conformity for that, you have to do them again. So across the country, there are many non-attainment areas or maintenance areas like ours that I've had to go back and address conformity for the first time in a little while. So going to the next slide, the way that this was done here in the Cuyahoga area, as I mentioned, we had only two of our three states subject to this analysis process. The West Virginia Department of Highways had an agreement with Michael Baker, who actually helped him prepare an air quality conformity analysis for all of the maintenance areas for 1997 eight-hour ozone in the state of West Virginia. So Cavill and Wayne counties were analyzed by Michael Baker as a part of that process. And then to just supplement it and make sure that we were coming with a cohesive conformity process, Kimberly Horn prepared the air quality analysis for Boyd County in Kentucky. Methodology and data sources, as you guys may recall from back when this was more of a hot topic in this area, when we do air quality analysis, we're pulling data from a variety of different sources. So we see anything from default data that's available as part of the modeling program or information that EPA can give us to information from the state departments of transportation or Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and then also the Cuyahoga Regional Travel Demand Model, where a good bit of the data was able to be obtained. Kimberly Horn and Michael Baker did collaborate during the development and preparation of results of this process, so that where we could and where it made sense, we tried to have some streamlined data and methodology assumptions. Also, one of the things that is a commonality for all three counties was we had a SIP budget that was established back when this was previously a requirement for the year 2018, and then the MTP has a horizon year of 2040. So actually, the MTP was already set up well to accommodate this, just in case air quality ever came back on the picture. So we were looking at analysis years of 2018, 2020, 2030, and 2040. So now I will cut to the chase, which is probably the most interesting part, the results. So long story short, for all of our analysis years, and for both of the pollutants, which we have to look at volatile organic compounds and oxides of nitrogen, because those are considered the two precursors to ozone, and for both of the states, we found that our emissions were below the 2018 SIP budget. And that's the goal. For all of the different years, we have to be below the last budget year, which was 2018. So we were able to pass. All of this was put together in a document. Again, in an attempt to have a cohesive process, we did include the West Virginia and Kentucky portions within a single document. If you have had the opportunity to read the document, you'll note that some sections are divided between West Virginia and Kentucky, just so that it can be clear which assumptions and what methodology was used for each location. But good news, we passed, and we appreciate the opportunity to work with you all and work with Baker on this item. Thank you.
Allison, thank you very much. Anyone have a question or want to follow up with Allison on anything?
Yes, this is Thomas Witt with KYTC. Can you hear me, Allison?
I can, Thomas.
Okay. My question is, it looks like with Kentucky, with the NOx, it's very close to the budget. And I'm wondering, do you think that'll be a concern going forward? And should we look at increasing the budget? Or do you think, given that they seem to be decreasing over time, the projected emissions, that it'll be okay?
I'm glad you asked that question, Thomas. And I'll speak for myself, and obviously I would defer to what Chris and Salim and the others at Cuyahoga say, but it is my opinion that it would behoove Boyd County to look at adding a degree of flexibility, increasing that budget a little bit, particularly for NOx. You all may or may not recall, several years ago, before the 1997 standard expired, West Virginia and the Cabell and Wayne portions in particular did look at increasing their budgets. And so what you see there, kind of that large disparity, between the Cabell and Wayne side and the Boyd side is a result largely of that decision to increase the budget and add a little bit more breathing room in there. So it would be my personal suggestion that, yes, that be looked at. You're right, emissions are generally decreasing. However, there are certain things as the MOOCs program continues to get updated to reflect newer federal guidance, such as the rollback of some of the CAFE standards that have been put in place and other things. We may see some slight changes, and I think it would be a good idea to contemplate getting out ahead of that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Allison.
Did you want out? Hearing nothing else, Allison, we thank you again and look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you so much.
Agenda item number 5, our executive director's report from Chris Childs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will briefly mention the report that Allison had just referenced on the phone should be the next thing in your packet, this guy right here. I'm sure everyone will go home tonight and start reading it. But if should you need to spend time reading the report, then first off, we want to thank Michael Browning from Senator Manchin's office for being here today. Especially here in the Tri-State area, we are very fortunate to have such a strong congressional delegation, both at the Senate and the House. They're all just a phone call away, so we do appreciate that. So thank you again, Mike, for being here and for leading us in prayer. So for the Cuyahoga sub-allocated funds updates, if you all remember, these are sub-allocated funds that we do our open them up in your sort of regular grant cycle that we just voted on at the last board meeting. So the Ohio portion I'm going to not talk about as much just because those funds had already been spent and are in the process of going through. And we follow the road, Lawrence County trails, et cetera. The Kentucky portion are moving forward. We're doing okay on that. And then for the West Virginia portion, Salim and I have met with Perry and with Rob Engine from West Virginia DOH twice now. I had two meetings in the past 2 weeks to talk about the West Virginia project. We did have 11 total projects. I think we agreed that 10 of those 11 are good to go. We should be receiving a letter in the near future from West Virginia to go ahead and proceed. The 11th project, which is the intermodal parking facility at the airport, we're in the process of getting together some more information on and just a little bit more specifics on the eligibility of that project under our sub-allocated funds program. We'll be getting that to DOH very soon. But long story short, those projects are moving forward. And we expect to have, like I said, some a letter from DOH shortly. And you should be getting contact from DOH sometime after that to start doing that. But I didn't want y'all to think we'd forgotten about that. Next up, the hiring of a transit consultant for training and efficiency analysis of the 5310 program. So this was something that came about when Cuyahoga and the Terry became a TMA and started working very closely with ETA on the 5310 program. And I think both Paul and I would agree it's a great program. It's a bit of a time requirement. And so I can tell you, especially from our internal here in the office, I think it was important for us to take another fresh look at the program and just bring someone on who's a specialty in transit to take a look at it and just try to find some efficiencies and what are some ways that both of us what are some ways that we can maybe do approach this a little bit better that's going to be more efficient, require a little bit less staff hours. So we'll be paying, that'll be all of our Cuyahoga funds. There won't be any local match or there'll be no cost to DTA. That'll be completely out of Cuyahoga's funds, but I did want to be sure to make the board aware of that. So after we bring on a consultant for about a year to help us take a look at the program, we plan to retain them for another couple of years to help us implement their changes and get it set up, and hopefully we'll give us some training to Bethany and Terry especially on on the world of transit, which Jim Paul can tell you is an beast. We're learning that. But our certainly our goal is here within the Kiowa offices to be as good of a partner to TTA as we can and to really beef up on our transit knowledge and operations here. Does that sum up, Paul? Anything you want to add on that? Okay. I'm interested in the cost of TTA.
I like that. It's here on the line.
No call.
No call.
Yeah, right.
Actually, I turned the recorder on as soon as you said that.
Well, I thought we had a debugger in here. So maybe next meeting. Next up, biannual update of the Transportation Improvement Program, or as we affectionately call it, the TIP. So if you all remember, the TIP is our four-year funding strategy for all projects over the next 4 years. That's our thing that every single meeting, we've got some sort of amendment to our TIP as different projects come online and go offline or scopes or cost change. So we'll have that later on in this meeting, like if you have a meeting. But the TIP, it's a four-year program or scope. Well, we update it every 2 years. That's a federal standard, and so we're just in the process of updating that for now. Nothing that the policy committee needs to worry about. That'll be all work that we'll delegate to our staff here. We want to make you aware of that. Then the Kiowa studies for fiscal year 2019, in our last meeting, we had gone ahead and approved our work program, which is the Unified Planning Work Program. So this is basically our Bible every from year to year, the work program. It tells us our budget, our project, our different studies we have going on, everything that we do from a year-to-year basis is based around this. I know I keep this handy. I know Salim has it. This is handy in his office. This is our Bible for year-to-year, the work program. The studies that were in here, we had seven studies that Kiowa is taking the lead on and doing the administrative work for that were in here. Those projects are listed below there on your agenda. And we just recently have selected consultants for all of those studies. Those are listed below. I will mention the first two, the Ohio River Bridge Crossing Study and the Safety Study for Cabell Lane Counties. Those are our big studies. Those are major studies. Those are going to be two-year studies. All the ones below that are all one-year studies. And when I say 1 year, one fiscal year. So those all the ones below that, starting with the Marshall University Bicycle Plan, and below, those are all one-year studies. Those will all be completed by the end of this fiscal year. But those are the consultants who were selected. If you have any questions about any of those studies or any of the consultants, please don't hesitate to contact us and let us know. These types of studies are something that we've only recently been able to do as we became a TMA, and we have some of the sub-allocated funds that we have, so we're trying to make those as beneficial to the community as possible.
Number six, transportation performance management coordination update.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So next up in your packet, I believe your packets were a little out of order because we had changed the agenda at the last minute, but we're looking at... Yep.
This is a resolution.
And also this thing is folded over and we'll give some of the specific numbers. So again, I'm sure everybody will leave here. We'll go home tonight and we'll start reading this and researching it. But to provide the numbers where this is all coming from.
We must have a resolution, so I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution number 2019-001, pavement and bridge condition performance target setting resolution. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Anyone read it? No. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. It is approved. Second one is system performance grade congestion and air quality target setting resolution. It would be the red card 2019-002. You want to speak to that?
Same as situation as the previous one, just different. It's same that Kiowa agrees to adopt each individual state DOT's target for the performance management. So So the green copy was just for bridge and condition performance, and then the red copy is for freight congestion and air quality. So different performance targets, but still just that kind of agrees to adopt the state's report.
Is there a motion to adopt resolution number 2019-002? Is there a second?
Second.
Second. It's been moved to second. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. No? It is approved. Agenda item number 7, the tax report. Paul Davis.
This past Tuesday, we met for a couple hours at our tax committee meeting right here at Cuyahoga, and it's always a very, very exciting and informative meeting, and I'm always happy to participate. And it was a good meeting this time, Chris. We got done in record time, about an hour and 30 minutes, rather than the normal 2 hours and 30 minutes. I appreciate Blaine and Cody and all the folks moving the meeting right along. That really makes a big difference.
I was afraid we were all in trouble, so we made every effort we can to speed up. But so is any meeting.
Well, as you know, it is the goal and the technical advisory committee to move things, discuss things and before it, and then move them to the full policy for your approval. And so we do not approve anything other than the fact that we move it to this policy meeting for final approval. So we did letter A, air quality conformity analysis that we've heard so much about. We did discuss it at length, and we recommend that it would be moved to the policy board, and there needs to be a motion to approve, and it will be 2019-003, Mr. President.
Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. It's adopted. 7B.
Okay. Letter B, on your agenda is, as we were talking earlier about revisions to the Transportation Improvement Plan, or we affectionately call it TIP, 2018-21. And in your packet are a number of things that have come forward and need to be adopted for the TIP and ultimately moved on to the state TIP and then STP. And so we do need a motion to approve that.
In your packet, you have a resolution on this. I don't know what color that is.
Perfect.
This paper. And it is resolution number 2018-016 for this, the 18th fiscal year.
That's what
the resolution approving the amendment number 6 to the TIP. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution? Is there a second? Been properly moved and seconded. Is there further discussion on the resolution? On the motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. It is adopted.
Okay. Letter C. We at length discussed the completion report and heard from Kyle's staff, which they always do an excellent job. And same deal. If there are any questions about the completion report, I am the novice here as far as what's going on here at Cuyahoga. For the most part, I would have to defer to staff blame, but the policy board did discuss it, and we do recommend that this policy board move it forward.
Is this resolution in your packet? Designated number 2019-004, is there a motion to adopt resolution? Been moved and seconded. That it be approved. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
It's approved.
Okay, thank you. And letter D, for the most part, we had a nice report from most of the transit systems that are here today and that were represented on Tuesday. And most of us, all three of us, Ashland, Ironton, and Huntington, we had our triangle review this year. For the most part, we passed with flying colors.
So you should be very proud of your transit system. I don't think we got the opportunity to really embarrass Michelle Grubb. So Michelle is now representing the Asheville Bus Service, and say hi. Asheville, would you like to say a little bit about yourself, Asheville?
This is very new to me, so I appreciate all of the input and learning all of the stuff and how welcoming everyone has been.
Well, certainly is refreshing to have a real person in there now working hard for the Asheville Bus System, so we're excited to work with Michelle. So other than our trying to reduce, there are I'm happy to report on behalf of PDA, the downtown circulator now that includes Marshall University. We're going into our third year. And believe it or not, we had almost 70,000 boardings last year for that green machine and other Marshall students riding the bus. So, and as you may recall, the students levied themselves. They voted to tax themselves basically $16 a semester for that service, and they are using it. And so, I think you're going to find that this new generation, you know, is really concerned about the environment. They're concerned about recycling. If they can use a vehicle that's not their own personal vehicle, they can get from point A to point B. They really don't care about it. They will endure some inconvenience to have to schedule that their ride or plan for their ride. So I think we're seeing more and more of that. We should be really proud of our young millennials that are coming forward. Do you have anything from Ashland?
Trail review went great. Historic review went great because we are in a historic building. And we are working on getting things even more efficient as far as how we're operating, trying to eliminate some of the gaps and things that are happening with the paratransit service. But I really hope to, with my background being in marketing, business communication, to bring the bus system into the 21st century in the area and use some mobility management and marketing to extend to even a larger demographic, kind of like what you're talking about in the Ashland area. Especially, we have a lot of new business stuff happening with the hotel being renovated, being able to access and tap into some of that as well.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm going to call Bill Davis because I don't see anyone out. Do you want to channel anything about Ironton? Large County Port Authority and the transit system.
Everything's moving well. The contract on the study you were speaking of there at Sandusky Road for the trucking company, that is prepared to go out now. So that should start. That should really be in place. So everything's moving quite well. So we'll see. So.
And that is one thing that we did hear, that Large County Transit was going to be receiving getting a maintenance facility.
Yes.
Put their buses in a garage. They won't be parked at the little park downtown Ironton any longer. So that would be really good for them. Another key important step in Large County Transit moving forward, and which is the right step for us to do.
Yes. And then two, I'll tell you, Lawrence County forming the TID, which has priority meetings that Patrick helps to run. That has been really good in our transportation side.
Okay, one more thing, I do want to brag. And it's not a big thing. Well, it is. Even though we moved from doing the Lawrence County Transit Service, that ridership came out of PTA now. We had the first year without Lawrence County being in our buses. We had 10 customer increase last year. We had over 988,000 board of PTA buses last year. But in part, what we lost from the Lawrence County side, we picked it up at Marshall, which is where we're proud of.
But we've got a million if you go Sundays.
Bill, I've been at CPA 30 years, and Bill's been trying to get me for the last 25. I know Bill's trying to get me to do Sunday bus service. Give me some money, Bill. We can go. And finally, letter E, I'm going to ask Terry. We have a partnership with Kiowa DTA. Once we became a TMA, we brought the 5310 program, which is for the elderly and handicapped, basically to help them augment services that kind of fall short in the regular bus system. So we tend to want to help senior centers like Think So and some other places for this vehicle.
and some operating monies. And so we're moving that program forward. We have a nice report on that. And Terry, I'd like you to, if you have a moment, just tell us the things we're doing.
The typically retained program is just as Paul had described, is that we are it's a program to help provide transportation services to the elderly and the disabled. We have an application program because of being in a TMA, and all the agencies are eligible for that their funding. We recognize in our area that sometimes it's hard to get applications. So what I want to talk about today is I'm going to try to make sure that we get people to apply for these funds. If you're a senior center, if you're a county agency, a commission, you're probably eligible. The cities, the bus systems are eligible applicants to purchase these vehicles and provide transportation services to the individuals in your community. It's an 80-20 program. Paul and Jennifer over at TTA order the vehicles. We at Cuyahoga here are the ones who actually help with the application process and work with you all to get the applications in. We just concluded the last cycle. We've had two agencies apply. Now, we've not only to provide transportation services to buy the vehicles, we've extended that to contracted services. So you can actually get funding to operate to serve the community with the vehicle. So you can also buy a vehicle, and you can be paid for providing services to these vehicles, to these individuals. So, that there is a gap for the seniors and the disabled. And we're trying to find the best way to provide those services. But we can't provide the services if we don't have y'all's help into doing that. So, we will be starting a new cycle probably October, November, and we'll be sending it out on the to everybody on email. If you don't have the information or you don't hear from us, if you think you're interested in this, contact us. The application will be online, but, we can sit down with you. You got the staff, Bethany. She's been working instrumental. She redid the application to help it a little bit more be user-friendly. Paul and Jennifer, we've all sat down with individuals and try to get help in with the application. So that's going to be my spiel for today for the 5310 program. Do you want to?
One other thing. I noticed Jim Morgan came in. He is currently serving as chair for CISO.
Okay.
And he's also one of our county commissioners here in Campbell County. And he will tell you that we've been able to help CISO. They were struggling so bad just with day-to-day operations and just providing transportation. We've provided a couple of vans now to CISO, and we're also doing contracted services, which now has made it's been a game changer. $50,000 grant, and that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but when you're a senior services organization, it's huge money.
Going to ask, don't take too many applications. Give away too much money.
and that is kind of the downside. We only get about $230,000 a year. But, it is enough to provide some assistance to those that are in very much need of the services. But then the other item I guess they have on here is about the transit asset management plan. We actually have to do performance measures and targets like we did for the safety bridges and what we just approved on the resolution. And so we have completed that. We worked very closely with all the transit agencies, received a lot of their data, crunched the numbers. We have provided that to the agents to each of the highway. To each of the Department of Transportation, and the reason we have to do that is we do have that completed by October the 1st. When we go to do amendments come after October the 1st, they will not even look at any of our projects. So we are on target. We shouldn't have any issues, and so we are doing that. And that will be, if anybody would like to see it,
Number eight, federal, state, local update, federal highway administration, Chandra.
resolutions to roll in so that we can get everything going. We've ended our first year with the safety performance target, so the MPO should be seeing the next year, because that's the only performance target that we have that's kind of a yearly thing. We see those targets rolling in various states soon. And then as far as the air quality thing goes, so that everybody knows, we'll be getting, will be a letter from the MPO saying that you have, you know, approved the air quality analysis. It'll go to the state. The state will send us a letter. We will send information to EPA because they have a 30-day comment and analysis period. And then once that is done, then all of the federal agencies, the three federal highways, the three FTAs will confer to, you know, say that we have concurrence, and then we'll send a letter, and then you'll start seeing some more amendments rolling in for your TIFs and your long-range plans. So probably, it'll be like a landslide of amendments, I'm imagining.
The only from Ohio, and this is more from ODOT than FHWA, got recently sent out an email at the meeting. They normally, as Chris indicated, update their TIF on a two-year basis, but they have decided to move that to a three-year basis, so we're waiting for them to provide some more information and guidance to the MPOs, but that should be coming out, and I'll coordinate with the staff to make sure that they receive it.
Any questions? Thank you, ladies. Rob, this Chris, you want to address this?
Yes, and Brent Brown is the airport manager. He's not able to be here today. The one thing I wanted to mention is the Tri-State Airport Elevator Project is moving forward.
We've had up and down with it.
I can tell you, I flew out of there to a conference 2 weeks ago, and I didn't have to carry my luggage up the, you know, 30 stairs.
Right, I left.
I could not wait until that is up and operational. I don't have to no longer take the stairs with my luggage. So I don't know the projected end date off the top of my head for that, but I do want to say it is moving forward. We put up the airport recently. It's there. It's looking really good. We're in the process of finalizing some budget details to go ahead and add a canopy so that you can have a main and a side canopy so that you can get from the elevator across the road there to the terminal and still be out of the weather the whole way. So we're excited about that. I think it's going to be a real game changer for the airport. So that is moving forward. If you're up near the airport anytime soon, you want to drive up there.
The elevator is building ready.
Some of those GO projects and everything are still moving forward. The general obligation bonds, some of the projects that weren't in the long-range transportation plan, TIF has had to wait until we get the air quality done. That's done, so hopefully that'll be up and starting.
These,
Rita. Where is US 52 on the
what state is it in? It's in, I don't know what date we have on that now.
2022.
Opening or beginning construction? Construction in
2022. Any questions? Mark County project, Patrick?
Well, we've finished up another one of our SLIP projects. That will be coming off the list here before long, County Road 4. We did resurface County Road 5 and 29. We're working on closing those projects out right now. We have a paving project on County Road 15 and 18. I just received federal authorization a couple weeks ago. I was trying to get that out for this year, but had some issues with right-of-way certification. So we got the federal authorization now, so it looks like that will be again in the spring. so we'll get that paved then. Various pavement markings, we're working on closing that now. That project is construction-wise complete. The U.S. 52 and State Route 243 interchange, that was a plan to see what could be done on the interchange at 243. That was looking at a no-build situation and then signalization and roundabouts, and throughout some of the meetings that come out that they wanted to do roundabouts, and it has preliminary plans for roundabouts. We're working on getting the ESA cultural ecological plans approved, and once we have those approved, we can have the project ready to go build. We're also working on all the roads, so that's going to be the first roundabout within our regional area. So, there's a couple other ones in the process.
Official roundabout.
Yeah. there's some that's in the works that looks like we're going to have the first one here. So everybody can practice in South Point. Also, we got about $4 million worth of FEMA stuff looking like it's going to come up. So we'll be busy trying to get all that taken care of. Other than that, I don't have much else to do.
And he's working out of the trailer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We had a leak in our house, and his office got destroyed back.
Well, I feel like that first roundabout, you could put some bleachers. So we can sit and walk. So this is
going to
be a learning
experience. It could be fun as a roundabout camera.
I was saying I wanted to get a statue of Mickey Mouse for the medal, but I can't
get
over
one. Any questions for Patrick? Thank you very much. KYCC, Central Update, Thomas?
Okay, I guess one big development is we got a new six-year highway plan this spring. It was the first six-year highway plan that was developed using SHIFT, which is our quantitative analysis process to prioritize projects. And, of course, there were some legislative changes to it, but a lot of the projects that scored well in SHIFT actually made it into the six-year highway plan, so that was good. It's pretty heavily focused on asset management projects like bridge and pavement type projects this time. And currently in central office, we've been dealing with performance measures. We have some safety targets for 2019, and we just provided that on the bridges and pavements and system performance to all of the MPOs. So hopefully they'll find that useful. Let's see. And then the other thing, we're revising our formulas and SHIFT for the new six-year highway plan development, and we expect to start really working on that in earnest probably early next year. And we'll be reaching out to the MPOs to get their input on potential projects for the new plan.
Boyd and Green County's project, Thomas or Terry, do you have anything to add?
Let's see. Nobody's here from the district office, but as far as the Boyd and Greenup County projects, with the new six-year plan, it was typical of the rest of the state. There were a lot of bridge replacement projects and bridge rehab projects, pavement condition projects, pavement rehabs. As far as capacity adding projects go, we do have, well, it's not really capacity adding, but it does add a center turn lane on US 60 from I-64 in Kentucky at interchange 181 to the Kentucky 180 intersection. And that one, according to the district right-of-way, is about 85% complete. And they do have some construction money programmed for 2020 in the new six-year highway plan. Let's see. And, Greenup County, one of the more significant projects is the Industrial Parkway, which we just talked about earlier with the TIP amendment, and that is improving access to Brady Industries, which is coming into the industrial park out there, and it's improving Industrial Parkway from the interstate to Technology Drive, which is where that industry will be accessed. So that's widening that road to four lanes. and I think constructing an overpass as well. And I know the district's anxious to start moving on that project, and hopefully once we get approval from the federal authorities, we'll be able to start moving forward on design for that.
So, I don't know what all that stuff is that came dish for. That's what thing brought that by. The young person sat here.
Policy committee meeting next, December 6th is on the Thursday. Did you want to
If you all remember our last meeting, we talked about this was actually 2019.
Right.
Year end. We were formed.
This is what we've got to blow up.
We had a summer joint meeting between the policy committee and the technical advisory committee this past summer, but we're going to push that back December. So we have a joint meeting. Regions on a Thursday instead of a Friday. Well, because our tactics on Tuesday
is this declaration.
So it gives us an opportunity to meet. Talk with some of the technical folks. Some overlap, but there's also a joint meeting. We'll have something special to do there. We'll have some sort of information on some of the projects.
So this probably is, you might just
come together. We are expecting it to be a lunchtime meeting. It's easier for some of our friends from Ohio and Kentucky to travel if it's a lunchtime meeting as opposed to a dinner or an evening event. So we are looking at a lunchtime meeting, but our goal is to have it at another location.
Thank you. And then the other ones are March 1 of 2019, May 3rd, 2019. And October 4th.
You what? I saw it too last night.
You
got
a new cat?
One in my yard.
Our Ohio friends, you will notice none of those are the fourth Friday of the month.
Out of conformity. I know transportation people want us to be out of conformity. The economic development people want us to be in conformity. What do these changes do? This does not hurt compliant with our compliance standards.
We want to be in compliance with all their quality conformity rules. We absolutely don't want to have dirty air, period.
Well, it's a great way for funding you talk about money. Does this put us in the does this hurt our conformity compliance issue when it comes to working with the EPA for getting permits to install within? Thank you. Bob, that's all I had.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And be careful.
Thursday off, or Friday off.